Empower Radio presents The Butterfly Moment. It's the classic quantum leap in personal growth. Now here are your hosts for The Butterfly Moment, John Schulter and Carrie Hall on Empower Radio.
Well, good morning. Good morning. My name is John Schulter, and I'm part of the show, The Butterfly Moment. Carrie's off doing photography today, so I have a very, very special guest that I'm going to get to in just a second. But I want to talk a little bit about our show and what we do. Carrie and I are both life coaches. And if you have issues with respect to what you want to do, your life plan, any challenges, health challenges, financial challenges, we are here to help. 55 minutes free as part of the offering of this show. And so I invite you to contact me at 586-997-HELP. That's 586-997-HELP. Or you can track me down through the links of this show, empowerradio.com. Today's a great day. I know I've shared with my readers, and you've been just, and my listeners, used to be a writer all the time, my listeners, with the challenge and dance that I had with cancer. And today, our guest is actually part of this at my Bible study group, a wonderful, wonderful group of men that meets every Friday in Rochester at 7:30. I reported back to them something that yesterday my doctor, Dr. Bark, who I have great respect for, has given me a clean bill of health. The thumbs are going up in the studio. Tears are getting in my eyes. And I'm so grateful to the group on Fridays of men that have unconditionally supported me in that task, in that dance. And Dylan and our producer here at the radio store and at the radio show. All of my friends, my kaleidoscope of friends, and even enemies that may have prayed for me during that time, I give all credit to our Creator and know that this is part of my ministry and it can happen to you. So thank you again. I'm really excited about our interview today, getting right into it. Pastor Stephen Barkey, who I've come to know in our group, and he is an amazing, amazing guy. He's an amazing, amazing man of God. As you know, this is not particularly a religious station. We are more integral in our thinking. We talk about spirituality all the time in my show. But this guy is all of that and more. He's not only a great, great person, he's a great, great teacher. And he has a butterfly moment. I mean, can you imagine the daunting task of trying to build a church in Washington Township or the Monroe area and doing it all, raising the money and delivering sermons and having his Sunday meetings at a school as he unpacking chairs. So, Pastor, welcome. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for asking me.
Well, listen, before we get started, I'd like you to give us an idea of your path, your background a little bit, so we can know a little bit about you that got you here today.
Yeah, I'm born and raised in Michigan, went to Michigan State University, got a degree in teaching, was a high school teacher.
Yes.
And headed off to San Antonio, Texas. There were no jobs in Michigan at the time when I graduated, and God took us down to San Antonio for a couple of years. And that's where I felt the stirring in my heart and the tug to work with teenagers, not with teaching them world history and those types of things, but to deal with just be a spiritual leader. in their lives. And so we, that was, I guess, the first, as you call it, the butterfly moment, the big change. You know, you've dumped a lot of money and education to be something, and then all of a sudden God's telling you you're going to be something different, and certainly using the things that you had learned, but in his own way. So, yeah, so we said goodbye to all of that after about 2.5 years, and went into youth ministry and came back home to Michigan to do that. So we were involved, I guess, just shy of 10 years working exclusively with teenagers.
Boy, that's fantastic. So where is your church located now, and what is your community that you've established all about?
Yeah, so in 2003, the fall of 2003, we left the church that we had been at the time, which had been my home church, the church that we had been raised at, and really didn't have, you know, you're leaving a group of 1,000-plus people and then just feeling pulled to go 15 miles north, and you don't have anybody, maybe 20 people, and we started meeting in a basement of a home in Washington Township, and that quickly grew, and then it was out of the basement into a school very quickly. It only took a few months for that. But through the years, God's been just, we've seen amazing things take place in many people's lives, including my own. And so where we are right now, you know, roughly 13, 14 years later, we have, the church has purchased some property on Mound Road, just south of 30 Mile, and we meet at Hevel Elementary School on Sundays at 10:30. And so not that we, you know, mind being nomadic and setting up and tearing down and doing all that. We've come to see that there's some limitations to that.
Yeah.
That there's more that we can do, so.
Yeah, you know, I think that there's real value in a sense of community that people can, on a weekly basis, know where they're going, have a place, and being able to call it their church, and really develop the kind of community within a community within those walls.
Yeah.
And I think that you're on the right track. It's kind of a home that you're providing. And what's really interesting and fascinating about this is that your process of manifestation is something that is universal. It's something that on a day-to-day basis you can learn and teach to your community, because whether you're building a law office, whether you're building a factory or whatever, it's all the same, isn't it?
Yeah, nothing is easy. And what I've learned, and this is, I guess, where the faith component comes in, you know, in the early days, you just think hard work and say some prayers, but maybe in your own mind, you view that more of it is about you than it is about God. And and what I've learned, I guess, the older I get, is it's so much more about God and his timing and his provision. And when he says it's right and it's time, then it's just time and it's there. I mean, you don't, the effort, you know, so we certainly don't want to be lazy, but we haven't been that. And,
well, actually you, the people in your community can watch and identify with what you're going through and what you're doing in your planning process and your visualization, your manifestation process, and take that lesson into their own lives and create their own butterfly moment. You know, because all of this is being able, is I have this ideal that when we go to heaven, or that we make our transcendence into the hereafter, one of the gifts that we have is clarity. Clarity. When we can really see the obstacles that were in our way. And part of the obstacles that maybe you're, you know, you've got the land, but you don't have the other kind of things, are your own efforts to gain clarity.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, there's passages, I believe it's 1 Corinthians 13 talks about, now we see through a glass or mirror, like dimly, like there's things are foggy down here. But he said, then, you know, talks about how they'll have that clarity that you're talking about. But yeah, the struggle, your metaphor is the butterfly, and there needing to be that struggle before the moment of breaking free. And while there's been these amazing things, there certainly has been the struggle of waiting for that. And I guess what we're seeking now is permanence. Like, it's not that the work of the Lord that we've been doing, there's a whole nother realm that will be opened up to us upon that breakthrough of permanence in the community. Mm. And so, but yeah, I think the struggle has been a big part of that. It's also what's held the group together, ironically.
Right.
And, you know, people coming together for a shared experience and a shared struggle. But ultimately, I guess if I've learned anything, it's just a day-to-day dependence on God for that day.
Mm. Mm. You know, this reminds me of a tape series that I'm, a webinar that I'm taking with she's a writer and also a speaker. Her name is Jay Virgin. And she has a wonderful story. It's a story of triumph about her own son, who is hit as a pedestrian by a hit-and-run driver and was taken to intensive care. And for that year, he had heart condition, tearing in the hearts. He had brain bleeds. It was 17 broken bones. You could not even recognize him in intensive care. And her takeaway from all this is that we are stronger than we think. And her whole ministry now, and she's just a writer, public speaker, but her ministry is sharing that. And like I shared this morning with the group, we're not here just for an easy life. You know, there's the old prayer of like, God, you don't have to take away the challenges. Just make me a strong person. And that's part of life. You know, I'm going to be going over to intensive care to see a friend today who's had a heart transplant and, you know, some brain stroke situations. But they're making it. They're making it, and they're embracing it, and my friend is going to heal. And what a metaphor that is, eh?
Yeah, wow. And it puts it into perspective, everything you've just shared. So if my struggle is getting a building, then I don't have a struggle. John, what you've been through and shared with us, and we've kind of gone through it a little bit with you, but not really, not in the what you've been through. And also, I guess another thing where I'm at right now is getting to a place that I'm okay. What if having permanence in a church building and all those things are things that I want? And he's either delaying that or denying it. But either way, if we pray, not my will, but your will be done, am I ready to be okay with that? Or is God just a means to an end?
Mm.
Do I just really come to God so I can get ultimately what I really want?
Right, right.
So maybe, you know, I have to be at peace with the idea that maybe he's saying, no, it's better for you to just keep doing what you're doing. Because certainly lives are getting touched either way.
You know, the thing I like about your take on this and your philosophy is that, and I can feel it in our class, is that you are always raising the bar. And it's like I said on previous shows, I know from my own experience with my mother and father and with my mother's recovery and different illnesses. My father had a stroke when I was 11. He was debilitated completely, catastrophic stroke, was unable hardly to speak, was in a wheelchair for 11 years. Mother took care of him. Those were my greatest gifts. It's not what happens to you that's important. It's what you do with what has happened. Like I mentioned today in class, you know, the metaphor of the cross or the historical reference to the cross is basically a story that has changed the world. And it could not really occur without what we call suffering. You know, the things that happen to you in your life that really shape and mold you so you have really something to say. You know, when I had the cancer, I realized, I guess, that hey, my time to shine. It's like, I'm sure that Jesus felt the same way. Not that I'm comparing myself to Jesus, was maybe as my model, but there comes a time you can't talk about the stuff anymore. You got to show it in your life. And that's just what he did, and it changed the world.
John, let me give an insight to the listeners as to what happened there this morning at our study. And really, it spotlights the difference between empathy and sympathy. But, okay, so we all knew, we've known what you've been up against with the cancer and whatnot. And then for you to come in and say cancer-free, and then we talked about the cost of being a follower of Christ, right? And so I said, John, what's your cost been? And you said, tell them what you said, just that phrase about the victim.
Well, the cost was I had to give up my victimhood. Because in life, we get a lot of currency out of being a victim. Yeah. And I can tell you, it's a downward trail. It's a slippery slope. You only, you know, here's a personal injury accident attorney saying on the air that there is no accidents. And I can tell you that the more you claim responsibility for whatever has happened to you and you know, shed any notion of being a victim, the more that God can be at your side, and the more that God, as you know him, can walk with you.
So you said that, what you just said right there, to 20 men that were sitting in a circle, and what hit me about that was I listened to you, and you saying that you needed to get rid of being a victim was so much different than if someone had just said, we need to stop being victims, without a context of having said that. Like, we all knew what you've been through. And so, and now you're like in this, because of what you've gone through, you're in this unique position to not sympathize with people, which is just essentially feeling sorry for them at a distance, but to truly empathize with people. You can say the things that you can say out of that experience with authority, with true impact, because you went through what you went through, and there's no other way to do that. And it's exactly what you said about Christ. It's with him dying on the cross and going through what he went through, in the word says, hey, there's no temptation that he hasn't experienced. Wow, that's a God that doesn't just stay up in heaven and look down and sympathize for the poor humans below. That's a God that says, I can empathize with you, and your suffering will not be forever. There is a happy ending to the story, ultimately.
You know, it's so true about that, and you alluded it to in your opening remarks about the butterfly. And, you know, sometimes with friends, and they're going through the suffering, you just got to be with them. You know, you got to be present with them. And if you cut the cocoon too soon, you know, the blood doesn't get to the wings and they'll never fly. And, you know, sometimes we think as parents, as spouses and all that kind of stuff, that we've got to stop the pain. We got to hover over them and not let them go through that. But, you know, sometimes we just have to be there for them. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah. I couldn't, you know, another thing that came out this morning is, you know, why are we allowed to suffer for these periods of time before there's a breakthrough? And, you know, those are questions known only to God. We called it in our group the Deuteronomy 29:29 file, which basically that verse says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the revealed things belong to us. And so there's a lot of things that kind of fall into that category of the unknown, and but something is being done in those seasons of where all we can do is just one, not even one day at a time, but 1 minute at a time, 1 moment at a time, 1 hour at a time, and we just have to remain and just stay.
You know, when I thank you for that, it very insightful. You know, as I think about those words, and I think about my friend, I had pasted on the wall next to him a story about the Navy SEALs. You know, it kind of jogged my memory there. And it was called "Acknowledging Your 3-Foot World." And there was a Navy SEAL that was doing a team kind of workout, and he was rock climbing 300 feet, got halfway up, and froze. So he rated it up to his commander and says, I'm going to die. I can't move. And the commander radioed down to him and said, here's what you're going to do, because you're not going to die in my watch. He says, I want you to acknowledge a three-foot world. And he said, what are you talking about? He says, you look down, you're going to see the reasons you can't. If you fall, you're going to die 150 feet. And if you look up, you see 150 feet that you can't do. But you can reach 3 feet to your next handhold. Then again. Then again. And today's Friday. We're going to the bar and you're buying. And they both laughed. And he made it home. So many times in our life, we need not the end, but 3 feet, right?
Yeah. Wow. That's true. And it's right there in the scripture. Give us this day our daily bread. Mm. You know, or thy word is a lamp unto my feet. It's not a high beam headlight that gives us the next 2 miles down the road. It's a lamp to your feet, to your next step.
The thing I love about your ministry and what it does is that it's giving people tools to go out into their day, into their challenges. And, you know, I've told that story to Gary, my friend, my brother who had a heart attack. And it was just a story that happened, but it's changed their lives. It's maybe saved their lives because they had their focus. And I think that the path to these events is that's what you seek. That's what you find. That's what, you know, the whole process of Sundays and religion and all that type of thing, I think is, in its universal sense, a reminder, because we know these things, but we get out into the world and we forget. And we need radio shows so that people can, instead of maybe, you know, listening to, you know, reality TV or whatever, you know, surf YouTube and find some good spiritual practical information, this show. Anyway, before we leave, how can people get a hold of you if they want to talk to you, Steve?
Yeah. Email would be Pastor Steve, STEVE, at ORCN.info. That's also our website, is ORCN.info. They can call 586-381-0070. And, I'm accessible by either one of those means.
Sure. I also would like you to, if you could, create a picture of what your dream is.
Yeah, well...
on that piece of land that you already have.
Absolutely. Right around where we are, we have 24 acres, which is a beautiful piece of property. But all around us are our orchards. If anybody's from the area, you know, Washington Township...
Love those peaches.
Yeah, absolutely. Home of the Peach Festival in Romeo. But anyway, there's rows and rows and rows of fruit-bearing trees. And we get that. That's a visual. It's a metaphor. But the vision for our church is that we would be rows and rows and rows of fruit-bearing disciples of Christ. Mm. And so we're the trees. And, of course, trees need to be pruned and cut. That's painful. And that's all a part of the process. But, you know, John 15 does a pretty good job of talking about that process and what God's doing in us. But so that's the goal. If there's a goal, it would be that we would produce fruit, not apples and peaches and pears and those things, but the fruit of the Spirit that the Word talks about, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, self-control. Really the core of what would make our world a better place to be in for everybody. And so that's the harvest. That's what we're trying, you know, that's the orchard that we're trying to build.
Well, I can tell you, from somebody who's engrossed in the butterfly moment and loves metaphors, I love that metaphor that you've created, you know, especially with the historical element to it, because I think that that all of this is leading ultimately to what this radio station is all about, what our show is about, and it's about empowering people. Empowering people that, you know, you don't have to look to the politics. You don't have to look to, you know, someone who's going to take care of you, that you can do it, that you can have your own dreams, how humble they may be. Maybe you're going to grow peaches or pick peaches or have a farm or be a doctor or that type of thing. It's all about empowerment. And Steve, thank you so much for being on the show today. And I urge all of you, you know, track them down through the internet. If you want, I can get a hold of them. You can come to one of our meetings. And, you know, all together, joining hands, we can change the world. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, John.